Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through to verse 10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you tonight, and we thank you for this beautiful evening you've given to us. We pray, Father, now for your blessing upon this word, that you give us wisdom and understanding as we open it. We give you praise and honor, Father, that you have given us an interest in your word, that you've opened our hearts to believe in your word, to trust in your word, and to live in terms of your word. We thank you and praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Verses 5 and 6 are what I want to begin to open today. We've moved through the opening verses, verses 1 to 4, so I won't repeat those. And verily, verse 5, they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. He whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. You may want to make your way to Numbers chapter 18. The custom of tithing, which was clearly evident from what we've seen in our text so far in Hebrews 7 and also in Genesis chapter 14, was evident all the way back in Abraham's day. But it was later lawfully enjoined upon the people of God under the Mosaic legislation. And Numbers chapter 18, get to it here. I can't talk and chew gum. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, begins to give us a body of instruction concerning this, the establishment of the tithe. Numbers chapter 18, beginning in verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. I mean, just stop there. What he's basically saying is that Aaron, as part of the tribe of Levi, would not be a landowner. They would not have land allocated to them from which they could pass on in a hereditary fashion or from which they could earn income and so forth. They will have no inheritance. In other words, they're to seek first the kingdom of God, and all that they need, God will provide for them. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. So here you see him. He's talking about Aaron in the first place. Then he backs up from the family of Aaron to the tribe of Levi. And he says, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, the Levites were serving not only in the actual tabernacle, but they're also serving in the various villages and so on in a teaching capacity. And they were to receive a tenth. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites, you see that the Levites are the ones that are separated for ministry. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. That is, if they don't perform. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. So what's happening is the tribe of Levi is clearly set apart. They're to have no inheritance. The family of Aaron in the midst of them is to have no inheritance at all. God will be their inheritance. They are to be recipients of the tithes. Verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, that's lifted up before the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. The idea being no share in the land. So what their share will be is a tenth of the increase of the other 11 tribes. Okay? They would tithe off their increase a tenth. Capital is not tithable. It's the increase, the productivity that's tithable. A tenth of that would be then provided for the Levites. In lieu of the fact that the Levites would not be producing for themselves. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, verse 25, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So the Levites receive a tenth, and they are set aside a tenth. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. In other words, it's a tithe of their income, their productivity. They are productive in the work of the congregation, the work of the tabernacle. They are paid by the tithes of the people. They are to tithe of what they receive. Verse 28, Thus ye also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. So, the way this works is the Levites, having no inheritance, receive a tithe. They in turn tithe to the family of Aaron and provide for him. So in God's economical order, you have the tithe providing for the broad ministry, but the tithe also providing specifically for the ministry of the high priest. So, as our text says in verse 5 of Hebrews 7, And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren. Okay? So the idea is that they, as the text goes on to say, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, they are commanded to take tithes of the people according to the law, to bring their tithes to the Levites who were also their brethren. because they also come out of the loins of Abraham. That is, both the giver and the receiver of tithes were descendants of Abraham. And there's a point to be made of this as we go on here a little further, the fact that they're descendants of Abraham. Okay? You with me so far? Among the Levites, the office of the high priest belonged to the family of Aaron and his successors. The remainder of the Levites assisted the high priest in the maintenance of the tabernacle, later the temple, and served among the tribes as teachers of the law in residence. They passed on their tithe to maintain the office of the high priest. We looked at Numbers 18:28 in terms of that. There's a number of other scriptures I won't take time to read that establish the same thing. Therefore, among the Levitical priesthood, in general, the tribe, there was an acknowledgement of the superiority of the family of Aaron. Okay? The Levites was an acknowledgement of their superiority because they received the tithes of the people, but there was also among them the superiority of the Aaronic priesthood because of the fact that they were receivers of tithes. But in the you'll notice here, and what I read here from Numbers 28, and what we read here in Hebrews 7, verse 5, the paying of tithes and the receiving of tithes was commanded by the law. They were not voluntary expressions of homage, or I guess as you might say in the States, homage. Is that the way you say it here? I keep getting up, mixed up with the Canadian and the American. Homage? Homage, okay. I've also heard it in French, homage, you know, so I'm not sure. But you know what I mean. There's the voluntary, and this is not the voluntary expression of an inferior to a superior. I'm talking about economic order. But it's obedience to a commandment. But in the case of Abraham's tithe to Melchizedek, it was not commanded by a positive law. It was a voluntary act that obviously had been in existence, acknowledging the superiority of Melchizedek as a priest of the Most High God. Now, I get into arguments with people, thankfully not in our context, but who will try to argue that because there's been a change in the law, the ceremonial law, and so on, the tithe is no longer applicable. I read some reading on the Restoration Prophets, and one of the commentators I read basically said the tithe is no longer applicable, but it's a good idea, it's a good guideline. And it's like, oh, what's wrong with this picture here? I'm missing something. But the fact of the tithe predates the commandment and illustrates a way in which a worshiper of God, the Most High God, can honor God by giving a tenth to the a priest of the Most High God. So there's an aspect here that transcends the law, but is more rooted and grounded. I don't want to go all the way back and say it's rooted and grounded in the creation ordinance like marriage and so on is. But it is rooted in something much earlier than the law. In fact, this is with Melchizedek over 400 years earlier. And the practice of honoring was someone who's superior by the giving of the tithe was clearly evident. So Abraham was acknowledging the voluntary superiority of Melchizedek in the same way that Israel was acknowledging the superiority of the Levites among them who had no inheritance, and the Levites acknowledging the superiority of the high priest family of Aaron. When you stop to consider that one was commanded and the other was voluntary in the case of Melchizedek, you're left with the understanding that what was done in the case of Melchizedek was far more honorable than that which was given under the priesthood, because it was sort of a voluntary, spontaneous kind of act of worship. And verse 6 goes on to say, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. The Aaronic priesthood blesses the people every Sunday except for Communion Sunday. I use the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6 in verses 22 to 27. And that's the blessing that's placed on the people of God. But by contrast to that, Melchizedek blessed him that had the promises. In other words, he conferred a blessing on the man that was the head of the whole of the covenant people of God 400 years before that body of people actually existed. And before, in the course of redemptive history, the office of the prophet, the priest, and the king came into being. Now, looking at Hebrews chapter 7 once more, let me move on to verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Okay? The fact that Abraham tithed unto Melchizedek, and Melchizedek conferred a blessing upon him, in whom the whole nation eventually descended, conferred a blessing upon him because he was a recipient of the promises. And remember, those promises were sworn to Abraham with an oath. The superiority of the priesthood of Melchizedek is over the Aaronic priesthood is established in this particular transaction. There's more to come to establish this, but it is established here. Then as we move into verse 8, the writer goes back to his statement in verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest forever. In other words, we talked about that. Melchizedek does not have a genealogy. He is called of God into the priesthood, is a type of the Son of God. He is to serve in that office as long as he lives, as Christ is to serve in his office as long as he lives. Now, notice in Hebrews 7, verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed, he liveth. So what the writer is doing is adding to his argument of the superiority of Melchizedek to the sons of Levi by pointing out that they who receive tithes among the Levites die. And one might take this to be an exclusive reference to the Levitical priests as mortal men, which they were. But then again, as we've noted already, so was Melchizedek. He was also a mortal man. He received Abraham, met Abraham, received tithes. No father, no mother. Didn't mean he was immortal. It meant he had no genealogy. But the focus is not on the mortal nature of Melchizedek, but on the abiding nature of the priesthood. The priesthood of the Levites will die. It will come to an end. Their ministry was only held for a limited period of time, for about 20 years, between the age of 30 and the age of 50, except in the case of the high priest, which in a sense typifies Christ. He served as long as he lived. When he died, he was replaced. But in the normal life of Levitical priestly duty was about age 25 to 50. Some will say 30, but somewhere in that area. And then, as far as their service was concerned, it was death. They no longer served. The Aaronic priesthood did not receive tithes directly from the people, but from the Levites. And then, as I said, their term of service was as long as they lived in a mortal sense. And when they died, they were replaced. So there's some similarity to Melchizedek and a little bit of typology toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the era of Melchizedek, in the there of the text, the one whose priesthood abideth continually received tithes. In other words, he wasn't subject to the term limitations of the Levite, but he received tithes all his life. As long as he lived, as long as he ministered in the priestly office, he was to receive tithes. You can begin to see that the same is true of Christ. As long as he lives, as long as he serves in the priestly office, then homage is to be done unto him. And one of the means of doing that, of course, is the offering of the tithes. And in this sense, Melchizedek was typical of the Christ to come. And in a limited, more limited sense, so was Aaron. And the point of the argument here is contrasting the Levitical priesthood with that of Melchizedek. He was a priest all his life. They were not. He is superior to them. They served only for part of their life. They die as priests before they die as men, but they do die. As long as Melchizedek lived, he received tithes and he ministered in the priestly office. And what is true of Melchizedek is also true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we haven't quite got there yet. We've alluded to it. We've talked about it a bit, but Psalm 110 verse 4 we'll take this subject of Melchizedek and elevate it into the realm of the messianic hope of God's people. And so what we do have, what we have coming is the Messiah, who the Jews expected, but who are not expecting the Messiah to be the high priest, which the Psalm says he was, and we'll get into that in due time. Okay, are you sort of tracking with me on this? It's sort of a complex text. The point is, Melchizedek's priesthood is superior to the Levites, and several little arguments are being advanced to substantiate that. Now, he adds something to this in verses 9 to 10. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. It's an interesting statement. What it's basically telling us and arguing for is that when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the tribe of Levi, which was in the loins of Abraham at the time, in other words, were his descendants, also paid tithes implicitly. He who was the recipient of the promises, of whom the 12 tribes, including the Levites, of course, would ultimately be the descendants, also implicitly tithed in Abraham, and therefore implicitly, though they weren't even alive for another 400 years, acknowledged the superiority of Melchizedek. In the same way that Adam stood as a federal head and fell into sin, and all his descendants were affected by that. In the same way that Jesus Christ suffered and died as federal head, and all those united to him are saved, Abraham stands as a covenantal head of his people. And as in a federal way, is connected with all of his descendants. He was the priest of his family, he was the prophet of his family, he was the king of his family. And whatever honor that the priesthood or the prophets of Israel or the kings of Israel had, including all the believers of Israel, ultimately went back to the fact of the way in which God had honored Abraham, their head. in a sense, there's a federal covenant connection. We are children of Abraham. And Galatians is very clear on that. So in a sense, then, the writer can say, because we are the descendants of Abraham, he can say that the whole tribe of Levi, not only them, but we could include the other 11 tribes, but in this case he's only referring to the one, did homage to Melchizedek when Abraham tithed. That they implicitly acknowledged the superiority of Melchizedek. Okay? Now, in what follows, there's another argument developing here, but I'm going to stop there now. We're about the half-hour mark, and we'll interact with this a little bit to take some questions.